I find it hard to write out my sermons. What I write doesn't sound like what I actually say. And when I bring the manuscript into the pulpit, I find myself reading the sermon rather than preaching it to the people. Is there really any value to writing out the sermon? I know that I need to write it in the course so that it can be evaluated. But after this course is over, should I continue writing out my sermons, or should I just get into the pulpit with a note card and a few ideas and preach the gospel that way?
Joshua, your question is really dealing with two different matters. On the one hand, your question is talking about delivery and whether or not you should use a manuscript in delivery. And on the other hand, your question is talking about style. In this course, we'll cover delivery in another unit. So at this point, I'll address the aspect of style that appears in your question. And I'd like to specifically talk about the difference between an oral or a written style, which seems to lie at the heart of your struggle. So often when we write something, we are accustomed to writing for reading. It's very rare that we put something down on paper for other people not to read it. We're writing for people to pick something up, reading a newsletter, we're writing a letter to somebody, we're writing papers in school. We're accustomed to writing for reading, and we don't write so that we can speak, so that people can hear what we have to say. Now, if we take writing for reading and we try to deliver it orally, it becomes a very frustrating and difficult experience. Studies have shown that people, when they speak, tend to speak in simple sentences. People who are writing, however, same people writing, tend to write in complex or compound and complex sentences. And if we take that writing, which is complex sentences, and try to speak it out loud, it's hard for our hearers to follow. It's even more frustrating for us as preachers, because what happens is I'm preaching, I'm saying something that orally sounds right, and for a moment I glance down at my notes. And when I look down at my notes, I realize that what I wrote is not what I'm saying, and I become nervous and think that maybe I need to spend more time looking at my notes rather than just talking to the people, so that I soon become involved in preaching what it is that I have written here, which is so darn interesting for my hearers. You see, what happens is we become drawn into a manuscript, but the assumption is that the manuscript sitting here is a good evaluation of oral speech. And it may be that you have not written that kind of a manuscript. And so it could be that when you're recognizing how what you're saying is different from what your manuscript is, that what you're recognizing is something good, that you're making the right changes, the appropriate changes, so that people can hear and follow what it is you have to say. And that to go back to simply reading what you wrote here is not the thing to do, because what you wrote is not written for orality. So what you want to work on in this dilemma that you're talking about is you want to work on the ability to write in an oral style. That way, if you do choose to bring a manuscript into the pulpit with you, the manuscript that you have will support what you're doing vocally as you present the ideas for the hearers. And you won't have that cognitive dissonance of saying one thing and looking down and seeing that you wrote something else. So it partly depends on what the manuscript looks like. And what is an oral style? What would we say are some of the components? Now, I'm just going to give you some very brief directives as to things you could think about as you're writing for speech. Personally, I tend to prefer students to actually orally compose their sermons. That is, rather than sit down and write, I encourage them as they work on composing the sermon to compose it standing up and talking. They have in their mind their main idea. They know their method of development, so simply talk it out. Stand up, talk it out, get used to delivering it, and once you're able to do that again and again until you have a similar style, a similar content, then write out what you've written and write out what you've spoken. That type of composition is a way that some students find it helpful to write in a style that mirrors how they speak. They're not just sitting down at the computer typing as they talk it out loud. They have actually talked it out loud, then they're putting it onto paper. And it also, in a sense, gives you a little bit more rehearsal of your actual delivery skills before you get into the pulpit. It's not as if you've written something and then at Saturday night you're standing up reading it again and again and again, trying to make it sound right. You've actually practiced it orally earlier on in the week as you're writing, so that when you get up into the pulpit on Sunday, it flows rather well. It mirrors how you naturally speak. So one way to do it is to actually compose it orally. Now, another way to do it is to think about some of the qualities of an oral style. One of the things to be aware of in an oral style is that your oral style will have shorter sentences, simpler sentences. Often it will have fragments and phrases. And this will be in contrast to a written style that often has more complex sentences. So you'll have a variety in length, but a lot of shorter sentences, and you'll usually have a frequent restatement of ideas in an oral style. If you look at it on the paper, you would say, no, that's redundant. I shouldn't be repeating myself in what I'm writing. You'd cross out the sentence. But in speaking, it's appropriate to repeat yourself so that people can once again remember, because they don't have anything to look back at, any notes that you have given them that they can look at again. I'd like you to hear a piece that a student wrote. I'll just offer the opening of the piece that he wrote, and it was written in a very, I guess, an essay-like style. And I asked him to go and revise it and try to create an oral style, and so I'll read you first the written style and then a sample of what he considers his oral style. The written piece began, "It is of great weight in our reading today that it is Paul who speaks to us and tells us that we are wasting away. Here, one who knows about wasting away speaks to us from the depths of his apostolic experience." Sounds a little bit like a paper that he might turn into a class. So I asked him to think about the oral style and rewrite it, and here's what he came up with as his second selection. "I'm wasting away." That's what Paul says this morning. In simple words, he writes, "We're wasting away." And if you listen closely, you'll realize that Paul knows what he's talking about. When he speaks, his words echo, and they echo from the depths of his life experience. Notice here how you have shorter sentences. They're less complex. There's a frequent restatement of the main idea that he's trying to communicate. He also uses a little bit of a poetic language. He uses this language of an echo from the depths of life experience as a way of capturing the thought that he's trying to communicate. Here's another sample from this same paragraph that he had written for his sermon. Again, I'll read the written style, then I'll look a little bit at the oral style and talk about some of the principles he implemented. The written form was this. "Paul is aware from personal experience that the whole world is given over to sinful ways and wasting away. Because he is an apostle, an ambassador of Christ, Paul has been brutalized by a world that is wasting away. He spent his time telling the good news about Jesus our Savior, and for telling such good news, the people of a sinful, decaying world responded violently to him. Furthermore, aside from violence, Paul tells us later in this very letter that he has a thorn in his flesh. It is generally assumed that this is some physical ailment from which he suffers, so he knows from his study and from his own body that he and also we are wasting away. Indeed, if anyone ever had a rough go at life, Paul the Apostle certainly did." That was his written format. When he rewrote it and tried to practice something that was a little bit more oral, here's how he reconfigured it. Consider his life. Paul was an apostle and ambassador of Christ. He spent his time preaching the good news about Jesus to a fallen world, and the fallen world, well, the fallen world tried to kill him in return. Beaten, imprisoned, shipwrecked, chained, brought to the brink of death, Paul writes about wasting away from life experience. He knew pain. He knew pain from the outside, and he knew pain from the inside. Later in this very letter, he talks about his thorn in the flesh. Now, scholars debate what they think it was, but whatever it was, it tortured him from within. From within, from without, Paul knows about suffering, and he knows about decay, he knows about wasting away. His words echo his life experience, and they offer us one message this morning. We're wasting away. In this case, notice how the written style had correct grammar. The student wasn't starting sentences with "and." The student wasn't having fragments in the midst of this. The student was also very careful to use a formal register. He uses language like "furthermore," "indeed," "that," and "which" clauses. So you've got a formal register in the written piece. When he came to the oral piece, the student was using contractions. He was using fragments. He was starting sentences with "and." And these are the things that we have been trained not to do in written style. But they're appropriate in oral style, and it's something that a student would be able to do in preaching. Second, notice how in the written one, the student tended to use abstractions. He talked only about violence from the fallen world. When he came to writing it again, he moved from abstractions to concrete experiences. He has that whole chain of fragments: beaten, imprisoned, chained. There he gives us very concrete situations where Paul is knowing this pain. Finally, the student tended to use the passive voice in his written style. In the oral style, he was very much more concerned about an active voice, talking about how the fallen world tried to kill Paul rather than saying that Paul was brutalized by a fallen world that is wasting away. So those are just a few things to keep in mind as you're thinking through how can I write something for oral speech. If you're not going to actually orally compose it, if you're going to sit down and write it, those are a few things you might want to keep in mind as you look at what you're writing. The question, though, is should you write it out at all? And I would answer that yes, I think you should. Writing does several things for you. First, it helps you clarify your thought. When you don't write it out, you sometimes rely only on something that's going to come to your mind when you're speaking, kind of like I'm doing right now. You're relying on something that you're going to say, rather concrete thinking about what it is you want to point to. So if you're going to talk about loneliness, you're thinking, well, I'll talk about a person who is lonely. But you really haven't given it the thought of a child who's there away for camp at the first time. Or you want to talk about the joy that a parent has with a child, but you haven't really thought of a very specific situation and the language that you're going to use and the way you're going to construct the sentence to build up to a climax as a parent has this joy even while they watch their child take their first step and fall down. There are some concrete ways of evaluating your language that you're going to want to do if you write it out. And so writing will help you clarify your thought. Writing also makes a record of what it was that you intended to say. And that's helpful for several reasons. For example, somebody might ask to have a copy of your sermon, and so you have a record that you can give to them. Somebody might have a question about something that you said in your sermon. And in this case, you may not necessarily know exactly what you said orally, but you have a record of what it was you intended to say, and you can use that to discuss with them what it is that you had spoken of. Finally, a written form gives you something to use as you evaluate your preaching over time. It gives you the opportunity to go back as you come to a text and say, if I preached on this before, what was it that I said? How could I do it differently this time? If you're going to evaluate your preaching for a whole year, you might ask yourself, what kind of themes have I used throughout this year? What aspects of life have I treated most often? What were my faith goals, my life goals? If you're using Kemmerer's methodology of having faith goals and life goals, which of those tended to predominate in my preaching? And these are things that you can know because you actually have a written copy of what it was that you had preached for your people. So I would encourage you to write out a manuscript. I would not necessarily encourage you to bring it into the pulpit. That is a matter of delivery and how you learn to deliver the sermon, and we'll cover that in another unit.